Blog Talk Radio.
But at the end of the day, it all comes down to what Carson Palmer can do. Hey, I was just informed we're having some technical difficulties. Looks like we got them all cleared up. Just in case, let me recap a little bit. We were definitely talking about David Johnson and that he will be out for 12 to 13 weeks. And like I said, that's basically the season, folks. That's basically the season. Hey, it looks like we have the best intern in the world calling in. Ryan, what's up, buddy?
Stop calling me intern, man. It's like, it's enough already with the intern. The intern won week one in fantasy football, man. Intern's doing well.
That's 1 week.
You did wait. What's going on, Paul? You're talking about DJ, huh?
Yeah, I just got a note that we were having some technical problems, so let me just kind of recap here. He's out for 2 to 3 months. Basically, that's a way of saying the season. Unless the Cardinals are in the hunt for anything,
right.
Bringing him back with 2 to 3 weeks left would just be asinine because you don't want to bring back your best player, possibly get him hurt again, which would just be dumb. During the technical difficulties, we talked about Carson Palmer, people saying, and I love the Cardinals. I love the way they're covering for him. You know, usually when he has a bad game, oh, he's so fired up and he bounces back the next game. Other folks are saying, well, he looked 38. No, he doesn't look 38. There's this guy that was 39 last year that looked great and won a Super Bowl. What he looked like was a quarterback who's losing his touch. And let's just be honest about that. And this isn't just this year. The slippage has been coming for the last couple of years. Not mobile, misses receivers that he shouldn't miss, throws completed passes sometimes to spots where the receiver catches it and can't do anything with it. So you got to be able to do something else. And they have decent second receivers, but are they going to be good all year? We don't know that. Larry Fitzgerald is going to be Larry Fitzgerald. You lost Humphreys on the left as a left tackle. Upati seems to be banged up, and you have a quarterback that's an apartment building back there. It's just it's not going to get better for them. I had doubts of what they would do when the season started, but I have even more doubts. The only good thing for them, Ryan, is that they're going to Indianapolis, and they're facing the Colts, who are terrible on defense, terrible on offense. They have a terrible offensive line. You ask about Andrew Luck, and this is the answer you get. And I compare this again. This when we were having some technical problems. It's like knocking on your door and someone answers, "Hey, is Ryan home?" No, he just ran to the store. I'll be right back. Oh, okay, cool. 15 minutes later. And you know when Ryan's coming back? Yeah, he just went to the store. Did he say when he come back? No, he didn't tell us. You know what store he went to? No, don't know what store he went to, but he just ran to the store. Okay, cool. Hour later, hey, man, is Ryan coming back? Yeah, he's coming back, dude. Chill out. He just went. It was the store closed, man. I don't know what store he went to. He just said he was going to the store. You going to win or not? It's up to you. That's exactly what the Colts are doing. Is he going to play game one? When is game one? Sunday? Yeah, catch us on Saturday. Okay, Saturday. Is he playing? Yeah, I don't – no, he won't be playing. Is he going to play next week? He should be ready. He's practicing. No, he's not practicing.
Yeah, right.
But it's ridiculous, right? I mean, the Colts are becoming even more of a joke than they were before.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? Let me say something about the Cardinals real quick. First of all, what's the alternative, though, Paul? I mean, what's the alternative? They don't have anybody better that they can replace a quarterback. I mean, unless you really honestly believe that the backup quarterbacks for the Cardinals are better than Carson Palmer. So they don't really have anything else there. Running back situation is really murky right now with, you got two guys and Kerwin Williams, who's the presumed guy to start. You got Andre Ellington. They might bring Brock Chris Johnson. I think there's too many question marks for the Cardinals right now. I completely agree with you. They shouldn't bring him back. As for the Colts, I guess they have a good matchup this week. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, last week was a circus.
Oh, big time. The Cardinals look like they're bringing back Chris Johnson. And from what I'm seeing, they're going to bring in DJ Foster off of the Patriots practice squad, development squad, whatever they want to call it nowadays. And it basically, it looks like they're going to have Williams to run, Chris Johnson to run, or Foster to catch pass, Ellington to catch pass. Who knows what they're going to do? I mean, listen, I understand next man up. I really do. And I think that's the mentality you have to have when it comes to pro football. You can't cry over something.
Agree.
Next man up. But there are some guys where there's not a next man behind that guy.
Right.
There's not a next man behind David Johnson on that roster. Why do you think the Cowboys are fighting so hard to make sure Ezekiel Elliott plays this year? Because there's not a next guy behind him. They've already had the next guy playing before they drafted him. And guess what they did? They drafted him. Because sometimes there's no next guy. So the season is going to get hard and harder, because after they play this JV team in Indianapolis, which I predict the score will be 2-0, the Cardinals will win by safety, then the schedule gets real. You got Dallas coming to town.
Right.
So I'm curious and I'm anxious to see what happened or what will happen, but
right.
I'm not really feeling it right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Cardinals are in big trouble. 100%.
You know what's really good? The only thing the Cardinals have really going for them, for a division I thought would be strong, I think I may have been wrong. Because Seattle can't block anybody.
Yeah.
On the offensive line. No one.
No,
they can't block anyone.
No, absolutely. I mean, their running game was atrocious. I mean, once we saw Eddie Lacy and Chris Carson and TJ Pros, it was just an embarrassment by the Seattle offensive line, an offensive line that actually was really good not too long ago. And it's crazy to see how far they come. I'm actually watching the game. There were like several instances where Russell Wilson was basically, it looked like it was a herd of green going after the guy. It was terrible.
Yeah. Yep. And their defense can't carry everything. It's not possible.
Yeah.
And then you look at the Niners, and then we just go right by them. They will just move right by them. Because we know there's no chance, so we're just going to move right by them. Then you come to the Rams, and Jared Goff had the game of his life. Okay, so was that real?
Against the
real?
Colts, by the way.
Against the Colts, but was that real? I mean, exactly, but was it real? Was it fake? Was it a one-time? was Jeff Fisher as bad at developing offensive quarterbacks as a lot of folks think he is? Yes, he is. Is he that? Was he really that bad? Was he really that guy when he hated a young quarterback so bad he could actually mind trick them into sucking? Yes, he can. I mean, so we'll find out. We'll find out. I mean, there's 15 more of these.
Yeah,
one thing we all do at week one, we exaggerate. We talk about it like it's the whole season. When it's a marathon, not a sprint, you break it down
right.
into quarters. First four games, second four games, and so on. So the Cardinals, I mean, if you're a game behind the Rams, I don't think you're going to worry much. But you want to get it together before Seattle's going to get it together. But I have some doubt.
Yeah.
I have
right.
Some
I
doubt.
Mean, okay. So, again, I think what you said about not overreacting was huge. I just want to say that. You know, to everyone listening, it's week one. People are going, oh, the Patriots, is this the end for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? Should he be? It's week one. Like, the Patriots are still going to probably go 13-3. Stop overreacting.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? I will say this. It's one thing to lose a guy. It's another thing
right.
to lose the guy's blanket. And Edelman was Tom or is Tom Brady's blanket. Whenever he got in trouble.
Edelman's on his team. He's got Hogan and Amendola, who basically are Edelman. He's got three Wes Welkers on his team.
But no. Amendola's already hurt.
Did he get hurt?
You can't even count on him. Yeah, he got hurt.
No, he did
so
not.
He didn't even make
it hurt. I remember him getting hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He's in, if I'm not mistaken, the concussion protocol.
Oh, you got to be kidding me, man. He always gets hurt. He's got bones of glass, Amendola. He gets hurt every year. Every game he gets hurt.
Here's the thing, and I never want to say one guy is worth, like, more than what they are, but sometimes certain guys are. Because when you're playing defense, you had to worry about Edelman so much that it helped out
yeah.
other guys.
Yeah.
Edelman's not there to help you. So maybe Chris Hogan reverts back to being Hogan. Amendola is
right.
definitely going to be hurt at some point. And I hate to say it, he may be one of the best tight ends to ever play, but we all know Gronk is going to get banged up somewhere. He has the last 4 years.
And by the way, speaking of Gronk, I'm not sure you're watching the game. He was MIA. Where was he during the game? I mean, Gronk barely got in any action. And Paul, someone tweeted today, and I want to know what you thought about this. They said that some of the reason of the poor tight end play that he thought this week was because offensive line run blocking is so terrible that they need all the help they can get. I mean, do you think this is what's happening now, that these tight ends are not able to spread the field because they're too busy trying to block?
The one that played the Bears sure wasn't when he was rumbling 80 yards down the field. He looked like he was all right to me. But
those are two catches.
For a whole bunch of freaking yards. But let's be honest.
Yeah.
Eric Berry was all over Gronk. And Gronk didn't seem like he had any separation. So I don't know if it's that it was the rushing as much as, listen, we're all human. We all have human bodies. You have two or three back surgeries. You have two or three leg surgeries. You're going into like year six or seven in the NFL. That's going to slow you down. What a lot of people don't realize, a half step is what separates some guys from other guys. That's what made Gronk so good. That's what makes these guys so good. You lose a half step. Either you have to adjust the way you play, or maybe that half step is just enough for guys to be able to keep up with you. I mean, this is where guys like Larry Fitzgerald and Steve Smith prove how good they are. When Larry Fitzgerald was no longer an outside wide receiver, he changed himself to a slot receiver. Not every guy can do that. So, So I'm anxious to see what happens down the line. I mean, the Patriots are going to win the division. Let's be honest. They'll win the division. But at the same time, how effective will they be when they're playing good teams that knows, hey, we don't have to worry about Edelman. You know,
we're
going to
find out
soon. It wasn't like Wes Welker left and Edelman just stepped in, and that first year he was Edelman.
Mm-hmm.
It took a year or two for him and Brady, through the summers, through the spring, through all the workouts, through the going to play catch in the offseason. It took all that for them to work that out.
Even if
I had that same connection with the Hogan right away, tall slot receivers don't always do well. Because you got a lot of body to get hit by those linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of body. Hey, Ryan, we have a caller calling in. We have a caller calling in. Caller, thanks for calling. Who am I speaking to?
Oh, you're speaking to Lou from Jersey. I didn't think I was going to get on that quick.
How are you, sir?
All right. First-time caller, but no stranger to the network whatsoever.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you, and thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Thanks. Is there a particular topic? I mean, this is my first time.
No, we're talking a little bit of football. We're talking Patriots right now, and you're on with
okay,
me, TLR, and Ryan.
Exactly what I want to bring up. I don't know if you pay attention to the power rankings that much, but I check it every week, and you know something I find very, very baffling.
What's that?
Is it that you still have a higher ranking than the Dallas Cowboys, even though the Patriots lost their opening game on Thursday?
You know what's weird? I don't really look at the rankings that much, especially after week one, but I did see it today, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are the number one ranked team in the power ranking. And honestly, I don't know how they come up with this stuff. To be honest, I think a lot of it has to do with what teams are doing, where they are, and who they have. And it's kind of, you know, I'll compare it to the college bowl games. If a star player gets hurt towards the end of the year, it hurts their chances of making the playoffs. So I'm thinking they're looking ahead like that in football and saying, Dallas, let's see if they're going to have Zeke or not. If they have Zeke, then next week we'll pop them ahead of someone. Pittsburgh didn't look good against Cleveland, but you know what?
No, they did not.
They didn't really have
No,
they didn't look good at all. But they didn't have a good preseason. Le'Veon Bell didn't play. But once they gel, we know how good they'll be. And I honestly think that's how these guys vote on that, because it can't be any other reason.
It does make sense. I just find it very weird because, you know, I check the rankings every weekend. You know, I think mostly it started to make sense by maybe like week three or four. Now, I guess it probably does. I guess anybody with a 1-0 record could take number one.
Yeah, but you know what? Honestly, if we really went by what we saw week one, and they will never do this, and no one will ever do that, because if we go by what we saw week one, hell, the Rams would be the number one ranked team. And we know that's
true.
Not true. I think they take a lot of involved with talent, what they see and where they predict teams are going to go for the first week. But because, like I said, we can't go off of what we saw, because Jared Goff is going to the Hall of Fame and the Rams are winning the Super Bowl. And we know that's not happening
I do think that game specifically actually showed how bad the Colts were. Honestly, I do think we can say that definitively, that after week one, I'm putting the Colts at the bottom of the power rankings 100%, because they got smacked by the Rams. They're automatically one of the worst teams.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't think the Rams are doing anything this year.
They'll travel and they'll help teams get wins, and they will they'll do a lot after week one, but we'll see. You know, like I said, was Jeff Fisher holding Jared Goff back? These are things we'll find out later, and true rankings will turn out to be either true or false. So, look, Ohio State was ranked number 2 in the country, number 3 in the country, and they have no receivers, and JT Barrett can't throw the ball. So it all comes out in the wash. That's why it's so much fun to watch, and it's so much fun to guess, and that's why we all play fantasy football. We pick guys that we think are going to have great years, and some of them are just a bust.
Mm-hmm. Like we're playing fantasy football, that's a bust.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have something else for us?
At this time, no. But now, what are you, once a week? How often are you on?
We are on Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Pacific Arizona time.
So that's 4 o'clock here in the East.
4 o'clock your time. And then on Wednesday nights, there is a dedicated football show called Gameplay. It is at it's late, though. It's 11 o'clock your time every Wednesday night.
You call that late? Come on.
That's
on
right. You're on East Coast. Hey, you know what? That's right. The local news doesn't even start till 11 back there. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
For you, it is.
Okay.
Only got like 2 kids.
Is it the same number, though?
Same number. Same call-in, same
okay,
everything.
Okay, good. I just might try tomorrow night.
Hey, I appreciate it. Like I said, yep, Wednesday night, and then we'll be on tomorrow. It's every day, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock your time.
My time, yes. 4 o'clock your time.
4 o'clock my time, and tomorrow is 11 p.m. my time.
Yep, both. There's two. There's two shows tomorrow.
Wait.
Four and 11
oh,
your time.
4 and 8. 4 and 8 my time.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. You hand me the press, but I get it now. All right.
Yep.
Until we talk again, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. Take care now.
Sure.
This next segment, Ryan, is brought to you by the one and only Tzatziki Pita Grill, located on Priest and Elliott. Everything there is made fresh. There's nothing used the second day. Nothing. So they come in every day. They prepare everything. Every vegetable is cut fresh. The tzatziki sauce is made fresh. Make sure you get down there. Again, it's Tzatziki's Pita Grill, located on Elliott and Priest in Tempe, Arizona. Let them know the PLR from the Cave Show sent you. They will take 10% off of any meal you purchase. Okay, Ryan, we're going to wrap this up with something that everyone knows I hate. I hate the hell out of analytics. That's not a secret, right?
Yeah, that's definitely not a secret.
Okay, I'm going to tell you why I hate analytics. And this is why I hate, and as people, they may be great, but I don't want a bunch of nerds telling me who can play basketball and who can't play basketball. And here is my here is my reason why.
Uh-huh.
You know who Reggie Jackson is, right?
Reggie Jackson of the Pistons, yeah.
Of the Pistons. Yeah, play a little bit, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
He's ranked number 78. Danny Green is ranked number 75 ahead of him in the top 100 players in the NBA right now. Okay.
Well, Danny Green's a two-way player. Danny Green's also a two-way player. He plays great defense. He's a 3-and-D type of guy. Reggie Jackson's not a very strong defender. I think that's where they kind of like, oh, well, he can play both sides better.
Are you really going to try to sell that?
I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm trying to tell you why they might rank Danny Green higher.
Okay. He's rated higher than Dennis Schroeder. Cody Zeller has a higher ranking than Dwight Howard. Can I tell you that name one more time? Cody
I got that
Zeller.
One.
So you got that one, right?
Yeah, I got that one. Yeah.
Oh, so you sure you got it? You positive?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Devin Booker is rated lower than Ricky Rubio. What was the last decade you saw Ricky Rubio hit a jump shot?
That's a crime. That's the worst one I've heard so far. That's got to be the worst.
This is why I hate analytics. I hate
analytics. What analytics rankings are you talking about? Like, what is it, NBA rank? Like, what are you referring
This is a stupid SI ranking of NBA players, which no one will put their name to and say they voted.
But rankings are subjective.
Not when you use analytics. When you use analytics, they're going to tell me, well, this guy is better than this guy. Or, well, he is a 40% shooter from 13 to 15 feet up.
Points in a game.
But that's my point. And I'm praying that these people use analytics, because if they didn't use analytics, then they should never watch another basketball game as long as they live. I know Isaiah Thomas is 5'9". I know he's not good on defense, but I do know that he's better than being the 40th best player in the NBA.
I agree. There's no way he's 40. I want to say one thing, Paul. It's not related to this. I just want to say this. I wasn't able to do my show yesterday. I just want to just quickly say that Golovkin versus Canelo is this weekend, and I'm going with Canelo via knockout. So if you're just listening to this, that's Canelo.
I was going to save you like 2 minutes at the end for that.
Okay, all right. I'll get back to it at the end. Anyway, what you're saying, analytics, I think, are a good way sometimes to see, okay, how a player's doing. But I'm guilty of doing this a lot. I use analytics a lot too much, but I understand what you're saying. I know why you don't like analytics. They get in the
way. You know the best formula to use to find out who's better? Your eyeballs. Because there's no way in hell DeMar DeRozan is the 36th best player in the NBA. There is no way. There is nobody I could think of that would tell me they would rather have LaMarcus Aldridge on their team over a DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
That's a joke. Look, I love Chris Middleton from the Bucks. I love Chris Middleton from the Bucks. I really do. He's not better than DeMar DeRozan, yet he's ranked higher. How? Who voted for this? Chris Middleton's cousin and uncle?
The only person
that is better than LaMarcus Aldridge is Houdini, because he's the only person that could disappear more in a playoff game. Yet he's ranked number 31.
That's some names just carry more value. Some names that you're just
He's a magician.
The history of the name.
He's a magician.
He's not the same guy from Portland. People need to realize that.
No,
he's not Portland Aldridge.
He is the same guy from Portland. I want you to think real hard about who always took big shots in the playoffs, who always led them in victory in the playoffs. He had those two games in Houston when he was playing for Portland, and everyone said, oh, here's the second. Oh, he's look how good he is. He's the second coming of Tim Duncan. Look how great he's playing. What did he do the rest of those games? He faded. That's what he does. He's a decent regular I won't say decent. He's a good regular season player. But do you want to count on him in the playoffs? No.
Probably not. No way.
All right, and the last bit of basketball news real quick. The Lakers are going to retire Kobe Bryant's number. You know what number they're going to retire, Ryan?
They're actually retiring both of them.
Both of them. They're going to retire 8 and 24. And you know what Kobe said before when they asked him what number did he want to be retired in? Did you hear that?
I don't remember what he said. I think he said it doesn't really matter which one. I don't know. What did he say?
You're on pace. He said it doesn't matter which one they retire because no one will be able to play in the other one anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, something like that. I remember reading that quote. That's true, though. That's true. Ooh,
so,
Alonzo
his
Ball.
His number is going to be retired. And then quickly before you talk about boxing, the Indians are going for win number 19 tonight.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. I think
in a row. I'm sorry,
lose.
I left that part out.
Can I just say they're going to lose tonight? Can I just be the one that says that tonight's the night that they lose?
Well, you don't own a business in Cleveland, do you? Because some idiot offered rebates if they got to 15, and luckily he was smart enough to get insurance because he would have lost his shirt in that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe owners have done that, but it's just. I don't know. That's funny.
You don't offer rebates, idiot. I know if you're a restaurant, you offer stuff like 19-cent wings tomorrow if they win something. You don't give back, like, offer something that you could possibly give back $1 point something million dollars for. What the hell
crazy.
Were you thinking? I bet you his cheeks, and I don't mean the ones on his face, were clenched as hell when they got to victory number 14.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
He probably could have crapped
out
of time.
Sports. It's the beauty of sports. What can I tell you?
It really is. I will say this, though. If DJ Foster is a regular with the Cardinals, that'll be good to see after covering that young man for so many years at ASU. Real stand-up kid.
Oh, don't even talk about ASU, by the way, because you know Todd Graham
I did
is about to get fired. He's about to get fired. I'm telling you right now. If he loses again, he's getting fired.
Well, they're going to lose again. They're in the Pac-12. They got USC coming
up.
No,
I mean, if he loses Texas Tech, I'm pretty sure he's getting fired.
I don't believe. You know what? Rarely do college coaches get fired mid-season. But we'll see.
Lane Kiffin.
Okay, well, Lane Kiffin is a jerk.
Okay.
Graham has done a lot. So.
Look, you know, you talked about it. I'm sure you talked about the buyout. There's a lot of stuff at play. All I know is that there needs to be some changes. Anyway, go ahead, Paul. Go ahead.
Boxing. Boxing.
Yeah,
you were saying it before. You alluded to. Yes.
Absolutely. Huge fight this weekend. Everybody listening. Canelo, Triple G. This fight. Look, point blank, it's a super fight. Whatever you're doing this weekend, cancel it. Watch this fight. I'm going Canelo Alvarez. I think he's gonna win via KO. If you think I don't know what I'm talking about, look, you know I rooted for Conor, but I said on my show that Floyd would win via unanimous decision. He won via TKO. Point is, I picked Floyd correctly.
It's called a knockout.
I'm picking Canelo. I'm picking Canelo to knock out Gennady Golovkin. Point blank.
Hey,
period.
Ryan, I got a question.
And then also, go ahead.
I got a question for you. Did we bet on that?
I think I owe you ice slushy or something.
So that's two ices, right? So you owe me two ices. So if you bet on that fight, and I won, then who did you bet for again?
Oh, I bet on McGregor with you and I. My official pick on my show was Floyd Mayweather. My friendly bet, because I love Conor McGregor, was with you, but my official pick, official on my radio show, was Floyd Mayweather.
Okay, I was just checking. I just wanted to make sure.
I know where the smart money is. I know. But look, hey, point is, anyway, also, I just want to quickly point out that on November 4th, there's been a third title fight added to UFC 217. There's Joanna Jędrzejczyk, George St. Pierre is making his return against Michael Bisping, Cody Garbrandt versus TJ Dillashaw. They got Stephen Thompson on the card. It's going to be a tremendous card. October 4th, UFC 217. Tune in. That's not for a while, though, but I just wanted to put that out there. But yeah, this weekend, tune in. Canelo GGG. It's going to be great.
Can we get another Icy going? And that'll be three for me because
you
want to
win. Oh, no way. Come on, man. Come on.
So are we on for my third Icy? I mean, you're going to owe me three or you're going to owe me one?
I mean, I'm pretty sure Icy's, I'm pretty sure they're pretty cheap at 7-Eleven, so I'll get you another Icy.
Okay. Triple G is not only going to win this fight, he is going to knock Canelo the hell out.
Oh, I think it's the opposite. I think Canelo's going to knock out Triple G. Like that.
Okay. So we've bet on two different things, have we not?
Yeah, we have. But like I'm confident about this one, man. I really am.
Okay.
Feeling good.
I love that in your voice. That confidence in your voice was great. Great. I love it. You know what? You are the little engine that could. I know I can.
We'll see. We'll see what happens Saturday.
That was great. You made it sound so good. I'm glad, man. That's the type of confidence you have. I want you to still be thinking about this. So, and about the eighth round when Canelo is going down. I hope it was a good fight. I hope people got
some
money.
I could see it. I'm just going with Canelo. My gut says Canelo. Going with the gut.
And that's what's going to happen a lot, too. He's going to get hit in the gut a lot.
We're going to see. We're going to see what happens.
All right, Ryan. Tell me when I didn't get a hold of you.
Hit me up on Twitter, at Ryan Dorf. Ask me any questions you got. Fantasy football, I'm a three-time champ. I'm going to win Paul's league.
Hold on. That's not my league, remember? That's another Paul's
league.
That's not my league.
You are going to win the league.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
all right,
it,
buddy.
Paul. Talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, that's a wrap then. Listen, sorry for the technical difficulties. Thank you, everyone, who stayed with us. Thanks, Ryan, for chiming in. Appreciate that. And of course, we always thank all of our callers that call in or tweet us. Listen, folks, make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook fan page, all under The Sports Cave. Make sure you get with us on thesportscave.com website. Check it out. Check out the article. Check out what's going on with us. And remember, the most important thing is cave is always, always with the K. You can get me directly on PLR on sports on Twitter. So look forward to hearing from you. Well, everyone, until tomorrow, have a good Tuesday night. See if the Indians can go for number 19. Wow. Until then, take care. This is PLR. This is The Cave Show. Have a good rest of your Tuesday. Down in the jungle, I am a marching band. I am the people. I am a heaven hand.